Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with me, I've been preaching through the book of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. And I'm going to finish out that chapter, but I have two messages that I want to bring on this subject, reconciliation. This is reconciliation part 1 and then reconciliation part 2. Because that's what the last part of Ephesians chapter 2 speaks of, how by the grace of God, in the salvation of God's elect, both Jew and Gentile have been brought together. In other words, the distinction between Jew and Gentile is now gone as far as salvation is concerned and a right relationship with God. And he speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 2. Last week we dealt with this, but just going back to it, he says in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That was the last message, made nigh by the blood of Christ. In other words, you're brought near. You're brought near unto God. You're not alienated from God now. And who's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about believers. And specifically, he's talking about Gentile believers here. But this would include all true believers. All who have been brought by God to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and true repentance. By nature, you see, we're alienated from God in our minds. The book of Colossians chapter 1, we'll look at that in just a moment. By nature, having fallen in Adam and into a state of sin and death, and having been born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, even God's chosen people, even God's elect, who will be brought to faith in Christ, even they by nature, as they are naturally born, are alienated from God in their minds by wicked works. And that's why God has to change their minds. He has to give them a new heart. That's what happens in the new birth. When the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual life, it's a literal spiritual resurrection from the dead. And he gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, all of that comes about on one ground, and it's by the power of God's grace based upon the blood of Christ. So he says in verse 13 of Ephesians 2, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, brought near by the blood of Christ." It's the blood of Christ that is the ground of salvation. His blood refers to his death. And his blood means righteousness established. You see, the only way that God and sinners can be reconciled is upon the basis of righteousness established. Now, to be reconciled means to be brought together. It's kind of like this. You have two parties who are at odds. And they must be brought together in unity, made one upon a common ground. And the common ground here is the blood of Christ, and I'll get to more details on that in a moment. But it says in verse 14 of Ephesians 2, "For Christ is our peace." That's the he there is Christ. "He is our peace, who hath made both one." Now he's talking about Jew and Gentile. And it says, "and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us." Now I explained how in the temple of that day, the third temple, we call it, that Herod was enhancing and building for the Jews. There was a wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews could go all the way into the court, to the courts of the temple, and the Gentiles could only go so far, and there was a middle wall of partition that separated them under that old covenant system. But now that's gone. That's what he's saying. Christ has broken down that middle wall of partition. Verse 15, look at this. Having abolished in his flesh. In his flesh means his death. See, Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He's God, every bit God, and he's every bit man without sin. So when we say, when we talk about in his flesh, we're not talking about sinful human flesh as we have. But he, in his body, died on that cross, and doing that, he abolished the enmity, that which separated, even the hatred that existed between Jew and Gentile. He says, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, because the Jews under the old covenant were forbidden to intermarry and have fellowship with Gentiles. Now, Gentiles could be brought into the Jewish state. They had to adhere to the law. The males had to be circumcised, all of that. But there was still a separation between them. And he says, Christ abolished that for to make in himself of twain, of two, one new man. That one new man is the church, made up of God's chosen people, chosen by God before the foundation of the world, justified in Christ. That is, their sins are forgiven, they are declared righteous based upon his righteousness imputed, and then brought into the kingdom by the power of the Spirit in the new birth, and this one new man. It's not Jew and Gentile. It's just the church. And it's called spiritual Israel. They're spiritual Jews, you might say, Romans 2 and 28 and 29 states. So making peace. And if you'll recall, if you heard the message last week, I dealt with in here in Galatians 3, where Paul explains it to the Galatians. And he says in verse 26 of Galatians 3, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." What is the evidence of one being a child of God? It has nothing to do with Jewishness. It has nothing to do with being a Gentile. In other words, just because a person is a physical descendant of Abraham does not make that person a child of God. Absolutely not. Circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth nothing, Paul wrote in Galatians 6. But he says in Galatians 3:26, "For you are all, Jew and Gentile, the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." If God has given you the gift of faith and brought you to Christ, that's the evidence that you're a child of God. And verse 27 of Galatians 3 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ." Now, that's not water baptism. That's dealt with in other passages. But that means in union with Christ, placed into Christ. He says, "You have put on Christ." Now, how do we put him on? Well, we believe in him. We submit to his righteousness imputed to us as our only ground of salvation. And he says in Christ, verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek." That's Gentile. Greek was a general term there for Gentile. "There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." You're all one. The one new man that we just read about over here in Ephesians. And he says in verse 29 of Galatians 3, "And if you be Christ," if you belong to Christ, "then are you Abraham's seed." That's Abraham's spiritual seed. "And heirs according to the promise." And that promise is the promise of the gospel, which is salvation by grace. Not conditioned on sinners, but conditioned on Christ. Now go back to Ephesians 2. "So he made peace," one new man. So they're reconciled. In verse 16, he says, "And that he," and this is Ephesians 2 and verse 16, "and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." In other words, that which separated God's elect from him, by nature, they're alienated in their minds by wicked works, that which separate Christ has abolished. And it says there that he slew, put to death that which separated them. And then in verse 17, and came and preached peace. Now that's what reconciliation is. It's peace made between God and sinners and between Jew and Gentile. And he says, and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. So in other words, everyone who has been brought into the kingdom, whether they're Jew or Gentile, they're at peace. They've been reconciled. They've been brought together. And so he says in verse 18, for through him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, by the grace of God, based upon the blood of Christ, his righteousness imputed, have access by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. See, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to drive us to Christ, and so that we approach God in Christ on the basis of his blood and righteousness. Now, this reconciliation, you might say it this way, it works vertically and it works horizontally. Vertically, it's sinners being reconciled to God on the basis of the blood of Christ, on the ground of his righteousness imputed. Horizontally, it's our relationship with brethren in Christ, Jew and Gentile, on that same ground. But the whole basis of it is being reconciled to God. That's the first issue that has to be settled. You see, who am I in fellowship with? Who are my brothers and sisters in Christ? It's those who have the same Father. And how do I know they have the same Father? Because they've been made one with me, with all believers in Christ Jesus. Now let me show you a verse of scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that speaks of this reconciliation to God very plainly. Now what Paul is doing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he is reminding the Corinthian believers of the nature and the purpose and the goal of a gospel ministry, a true gospel ministry. And he's telling them that this gospel ministry, and one of the reasons that he's doing this in Corinth is because they were a divided people. They divided over things that were nothing, over preachers. 1 Corinthians tells us about that. Over certain issues of what you're supposed to eat and what you're not supposed to eat, things like that. But Paul is adamant to show them that, no, now we are one in Christ Jesus, and our purpose is to glorify God in the preaching of the gospel. And here's the nature of a gospel ministry. And I won't read the whole chapter, but look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, he speaks here, 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God. Now, the all things there that he's speaking of specifically are all things pertaining to salvation. He talked about a person who is in Christ, has been made a new creature, a new creation. Well, that's of God. All things are of God. It's not of man. Salvation, with all of its blessings, with all of its benefits, its eternal quality and aspect, its spiritual qualities, it's all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its origination, as God, before the foundation of the world, purposed and planned it, and as he chose a people and gave them to Christ and made Christ their surety, all of that. It's of God in its working out, even in the creation of the world in which God created the world. It's of him. He created all things. It's of God in its continuation, in its working out on the cross. Christ, listen, the work of salvation is not a cooperative effort between me and God. Because if it were left up to me by nature, I would never cooperate. That's what the Bible teaches about man by nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. You will not come to me that you might have eternal life, Christ told the Pharisees. That's all of us by nature. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. Romans 3. So it's of God. It's application. It's of God. The new birth is the work of God. It's not you make a decision or you believe and then you're born again. No, you're born again first and then you'll make the right decision because he gives us a new heart. Salvation is of the Lord in its continuation. That's why it's impossible for a truly saved sinner to be lost again. You people who claim to be Christian, you believe that sinners can be saved one day, but that they can, if they don't do what's right, they can be lost again. You don't know the scriptures. I know you've got certain verses that you pull out, but they are not, you're interpreting them wrong. You're not using responsible rules of interpretation. The Apostle John spoke of it in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 when he spoke of those who went out from believers. They left the gospel. They left Christ. They turned against the church. And he said, they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us. But they went out from us, he said, that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. But salvation is all of God, he says, verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 5. All things are of God. And when we enter final glory, that's of God too. It's not of us. It's not of man. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So look back at 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Reconciled to God. Peace made between God and sinners. Look at the next line. By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that's the nature of a gospel ministry. It's not just a ministry of condemnation. But it's a ministry of reconciliation. Because in preaching the gospel, we're to tell sinners how God is reconciled to sinners, his people, and how sinners are reconciled to God. And those whom God chose before the foundation of the world, whom he justified by the righteousness of Christ imputed, whom he gives life to by the Holy Spirit, in the new, they'll be reconciled to God. Listen, go on. He says, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, he says, to wit, or namely, that God was in Christ. In other words, the Godhead. The Bible says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God engaged himself in the glorious person of Christ and the glorious work of Christ, the glory of God, the purpose of God. Everything about God, his reputation, his honor, his majesty, was totally wrapped up in the person and work of Christ. And that's why it's important that we see that salvation is all of the Lord. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now, a lot of times people look at that word, world, and they say, well, see there, that's everybody without exception. And that's not what it means. What he's showing here is that he's making the point that those divisions among people in the world mean nothing as far as being reconciled to God. And so this is for God's chosen people all over this world, Jew and Gentile, every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. It's not everybody without exception. And you want to know why I know that? First of all, If the word world here means everybody without exception, then everybody without exception, no matter what, is going to be saved because they've all been reconciled to God. Listen to it. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. If I'm reconciled to God, I'm not under his wrath. Do you understand that? If I'm reconciled to God, then I cannot be lost forever. And you say, well, but you've got to accept it. That's not what the scripture says. You will accept it if you've been reconciled to God. That's what the Bible teaches. But look on. Here's another proof of it. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, charging, or accounting their trespasses unto them. The ones whom he speaks of here are those to whom God does not charge with their sins. And what does that mean? Well, hold your finger there. I know I'm getting into a lot of scripture today, but I want you to see this. Look at Romans chapter 8. The non-imputation of sin is salvation. Because if sin is not imputed, charged, accounted to you, who's it been accounted to? It was accounted to Christ. And if Christ took your sins to the cross and bore them in his body on the tree, then his righteousness has been imputed to you. Look at verse 33 of the book of Romans, chapter 8. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. In other words, if sin's not imputed, charged to you, you're justified. That means your sins are forgiven. And you've been declared righteous in the sight of God by the righteousness of Christ imputed to you, charged to you. Verse 34, then it bears on. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If your sins are not imputed, charged to you, that means Christ died for you. And if he died for you, he was condemned for you. You cannot be condemned. And he's at the right hand of the Father right now making intercession for you. That's reconciliation. Now go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that's what the church is all about, preaching the gospel of peace. Peace with God. In Jesus Christ, between God and his people. And he says in verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, yes, God is reconciled to his people based upon the blood of Christ, and we preach the gospel. Now, be ye reconciled to God. And God's people will, verse 21 is the basis of that. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son incarnate, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. How was he made sin? By the imputation of the sins of God's elect to him. He's their surety. And Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there's reconciliation between God and sinners. Now that's the basis of what Paul is writing back here in our text in Ephesians chapter 2, when he says that in verse 16, read it again, that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, that which separated God and his people. And what was it that separated God and his people? Sin separated them. Well, what did Christ do? Having the sins of God's chosen people imputed to him, he came and he took away our sins by the blood of the cross. That's what he did. Over in the book of Colossians, it speaks of that in the terms of reconciliation again. It says in verse 19 of Colossians chapter 1, for it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That's all people who are saved. Those who have gone to heaven, those who are still on earth. And verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So, Paul's point back in chapter 2 of Ephesians, our text, is this. Having been reconciled to God by the blood of Christ, we are to be reconciled to one another by that same ground. So he says in Ephesians 2 and verse 17, he says, he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto God. In other words, the ground of my being reconciled to God and the ground of my brothers and sisters in Christ being reconciled to God is one and the same. It's the blood of Christ, the blood of His cross, His death, His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted, which we receive by God-given faith. And that's the nature of a gospel ministry. It brings us together in one. That's why we preach the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also, Jew and Gentile. It came through the Jews. God providentially brought it into the world through the Jews, but to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There's the ground. That's the merits of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ground of salvation. It's the ground of justification. It's the ground of reconciliation, the ground of peace. He says, from faith to faith, from hearing the gospel, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and believing that gospel by the gift of faith. And then he says, the justified, Jew and Gentile, shall live by faith, by looking to Christ, resting in Christ, following Christ, loving Christ. That's reconciliation right there. That's what brings those who are two separated into one new man, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by His grace, redeemed by His blood, reconciled through Him. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.